Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Tomorrow we have something exciting happening with a church in California that I'll tell you about in just a moment. But first, I want to introduce a longtime friend of Bob Enyart Live, Ed Hanks. Ed, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Bob. Great to be on.
It's good to have you here. You're the newest board member of Colorado Right to Life. Is that right?
As of a couple days ago.
Congratulations. That's real good news. And, Ed, you're here to help me with our telethon update. So where are we at?
As I understand it, listeners so far have given $14,000 for the telethon, and
wow,
that's 56% of the way
wow
to our goal of $25,000.
So the goal is $25,000. This is our broadcast telethon to keep us on a 50,000-watt AM station for the next year, and 56% of the way, and the month isn't even half over.
And please call in to enable Bob to reach more people for Christ, 1-800-8-ENYART.
1-800-836-9278. And then we have a couple mailbag items from the BEL mailbag.
Sure. We have David from Louisiana wrote to say, Bob, your Bible studies have been critical to this family remaining strong and focused. God bless you, Bob Enyart Live, and Denver Bible Church. That's from David and Teresa.
From Louisiana. Praise the Lord. That's exciting.
And Lindsay from Indiana mm-hmm wrote to say, Bob, just letting you know, these materials are a birthday present for my husband, Brian. He's a huge BEL fan, and he's been listening to you for 9 years.
Wow.
Thanks.
Well, so she bought a gift, and some people have done that, even a gift subscription to our Bible study albums once a month. That, of course, helps us stay on the air.
And Quinn from Indiana, he has just purchased The Plot, which is your manuscript. It's an overview of the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my wife are going through it right now, and it's tremendous work.
You guys are. That's an honor.
That's Ed and Lolita.
Ed and Lolita. And please give me your comments as you go along, all right?
Oh, it's fascinating.
Well, it's a lot of fun. And an overview of the Bible really is the key to its details.
Indeed.
So that's
and
what's so exciting.
It makes it a lot simpler.
Mm.
I understand the Bible so much better now.
Okay, so that was Quinn?
Yes, Quinn says, looking forward to sharing this with some great people who are hungry for the truth.
Wow, thank you very much, Quinn. He's from Indiana. All right, that's exciting. Okay, now, Ed, if you can stay with me through the show, we have something exciting happening tomorrow. We have a debate with a pastor from San Diego, California. He's Pastor Gene Cook of Covenant Baptist Church, and the debate is on the future, whether it's settled or open. It's called open theism. And Pastor Gene Cook, Pastor, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thank you for having me on.
It's so great to have you here. I'm hoping that my audience could get to know you, Pastor Gene, and that your audience will find out about us, of course.
Sure.
So tell us about The Narrow Mind, your radio show. It's such a great name for a show.
That's debatable among my my arch enemies, but
yeah,
it's a program that I've been doing now since 2003. Started once a week, and now as of September of last year, we've moved to doing it 5 days a week. And so, it normally comes on at 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on the West Coast, and it's a one-hour program with a call-in format. And we devote Wednesdays to atheism. We devote Thursdays to covenant theology.
Wow.
So we usually have a different topic or different theme each day of the week.
Now, covenant theology, we just had a three-show debate on that topic with an author. You might know of him, Gary DeMar.
I know Gary. I've interviewed him on my program, and I listened to all three of those segments last night while I was going to sleep. So,
well, we enjoyed the time with Gary. It was enjoyable. Obviously, we disagreed, but we disagreed in the Lord and had a good time.
Right.
So, okay, now, could you tell us a bit about your church and then the radio show and the nature of your ministry?
Sure. Our church is Covenant Baptist Church, as you mentioned. It's in San Diego, California, and I'm the founding pastor of that church. The church is going to be celebrating its 11th anniversary this July. Hmm. And the church, if you wanted to, we're an independent church, so we're not part of an organization, a denomination, or an association.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to describe the church doctrinally or theologically, we could be described as a church that is Reformed, a church that's Baptistic, a church that is covenantal in our theology as opposed to dispensational.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, since we're Reformed, we're a church that has a very high view of the sovereignty of God and of the Scriptures.
So, Reformed, some people are more familiar with the term Calvinism, basically a system of theology that makes a lot of predestination.
Well, it's a system of theology that recognizes the predestination that the Bible speaks of.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So predestination fits significantly into your theological system.
Absolutely.
Right. And so we will be debating the subject of open theism. Obviously, we're not setting out to debate that today.
Right.
But the subject of whether or not the future is settled or open. And so typically, people who are open theists don't make a lot of predestination. They tend to minimize predestination. And people who believe the future is settled, some of them are Arminians, and others are Calvinist, Reformed. And that half, the Calvinist or Reformed half, believe the future is settled, and it's because God has predestined the future.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, when you say you make a little of predestination, or you make little of predestination, I'm not sure exactly. I'm having trouble understanding how the concept of predestination, whether it's a small concept or a large concept on the Calvinist side, would have any place or existence in a view that says that the future is completely open to the contingencies of man's free will.
Because God is a player, obviously. Before God created human beings, he existed for eternity past. And God is an actor. And God is free to make plans. He can make plans. He could bring those plans about. And so, therefore, predestination forms a part of our theology, but it's not overarching. It's not the primary. It's not the foundation of our theology.
Okay. So there are certain, you would hold that there are certain events that are predestined.
Well, right. God has planned that in this rebellion against him, this long war against God, that God will have the victory. He will defeat those in rebellion against him. That's part of God's plan.
Okay.
It's because of who God is. I mean, he's wiser than his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
He's more powerful than his enemies. And he's righteous, and they're wicked. So that's why God very confidently declares that he will have the victory over his enemies. Nobody could outsmart God.
I would agree.
Yeah, nobody's stronger than him.
I would agree with that, too.
So, Pastor Gene Cook of Covenant Baptist Church in San Diego, California, so your church, you've explained our church, and then, just like me, I pastor Denver Bible Church, and I have a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing the show for 15 years, 5 days a week. Now, your talk show, you said on Wednesdays, you focus on the issue of atheism.
Yeah, we call it Atheistic Wednesday.
Mm.
We talk about issues of unbelief, atheism, and agnosticism, which has recently become somewhat in vogue with the younger generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, and it's tragic. At one of our favorite websites, theologyonline.com, they have these battle royales, these written debates, 5 to 10 rounds. And I had the opportunity to debate their resident atheist, Zakif, in Battle Royale 7. It went to, about 250 pages, and really fascinating. And he's a thoroughgoing, committed, studied atheist. But when you have a Christian debating an atheist, that's pretty enjoyable for us, because there's this world of evidence that there is a God.
Right.
And boy, they have a really hard time in these debates. Of course, we listen to other debates where Christians have debated atheists. We read debates, listen to them, and participate in them. And they normally go very, very well for the Christian.
Yeah, I would agree. What's interesting, though, is the atheist, since they come to these debates and arguments with their own preconceived biases, as we all do, they seem to think that the debates go well for the atheist.
Mm.
So it's kind of interesting to see how people, at the end, when it's all said and done,
how they
kind of score these debates.
Yeah, they're typically, any side in any debate would be hesitant to say, well, we lost.
Yeah.
And so what we've told these atheists and others is that, well, when the debate is over, we'll see who sells the debate. And if you guys sell the debate, at least that'll indicate to us that you think you won.
Yeah, that's a good indicator. A lot of debates, I think some of these debaters would rather forget about them.
Right, exactly.
So hopefully you'll be distributing our debate.
Well, we'll see, right, Master Cook?
I know I will.
We will see. I've been doing this for 15 years. I know that in your archives you have hundreds of shows, including debates, that you guys offer. And, yeah, it's enjoyable to take a stand for the Lord. And the neat thing is, on the fundamental basics, I believe we concur completely that there is a God. He's a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is the creator of the universe and mankind.
Mm-hmm.
That God created Adam and Eve, specially created them. We haven't evolved from animals. And that Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the garden. And God loved mankind so much, he sent his Son to die and to provide salvation. And so on these fundamentals, the Bible is God's word. I think there's a large agreement between our churches, but obviously there's also significant disagreement.
Yeah, I would agree with everything that you just said, and we wouldn't have any problem holding to those truths. We think that they're clearly laid out for us in Scripture. I think it's the things that we disagree with that are going to be the things that really kind of separate us. Now, I'm sure you're aware that most of the prominent Christian leaders,
right,
in our day would consider open theism as an unorthodox position.
Yeah, many of them might say it's heretical.
Yeah.
Certainly unorthodox. And that's true. And if my authority was popular opinion or a democratic vote of religious leaders, then I would change my theology. But, of course, our standard is God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the Bible covers a long period of history. And if we only limit it to the time from Abraham to where there's a covenant of God's people, from Abraham through the apostles at the end of the New Testament, we see that it's the normal state of affairs that God's people are at odds with him, with his teaching, and with an understanding, even an agreement. They're often in conflict. Even Paul and the 12 apostles had theological, doctrinal issues they had to resolve.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus came, there had been, 2,000 years of Abraham's covenant and God's covenant people. And for the most part, the religious leaders were pretty much in disagreement with the Lord on quite a few things. So I'm not saying that religious leaders today are not believers, but I'm saying that we don't have a good track record. For example, salvation by faith was mostly lost for well over 1,000 years in the Christian era. And it was recovered as a doctrine during the Reformation. So that indicates to me that the popular Christian doctrines of religious leaders are not necessarily accurate.
No, I would certainly agree with that. But the question becomes, I'm thinking about the debate that I had with David Bernard, who is a Oneness Pentecostal.
Mm.
He wrote a book, it's very popular, called The Oneness of God. And when I debated him back in 2000, he stood up and he said that he believed that we worship the same God, because we both believe that Jesus Christ came and died for sinners.
Mm.
We both believe that there is a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We both believe that salvation should be by grace through faith. So he kind of rattled off a list of things that we would agree on.
Mm.
But at some point, we have to ask the question, are we talking about the same God? I mean, we could make a list of things that we would agree with Jehovah's Witnesses. The Bible is the word of God.
Right.
That God is sovereign. And so the question becomes, what are the differences, and do these differences actually push themselves outside of just peripheral, or I should say inside, past the peripheral issues of the Christian faith? And at what point, what is our list of essentials? What must we believe about God?
Right. Well, Walter Martin, his Kingdom of the Cults, that classic book on identifying cults and responding to cults, I read that book, I think it was back in the 1970s. And, in fact, I used to go to his Sunday school class at Melodyland in Anaheim, California.
Right.
I spent about a year, just to let you know, in Costa Mesa at Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith's church.
Okay.
Studying the Bible there 6-7 days a week. Really was a wonderful year. But he had this standard for determining if a group is a cult, and it's not like there couldn't be other qualifications, but one is cults typically deny the Trinity and or the deity of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They do that. They deny that the Bible is the only inspired word of God,
mm-hmm.
and they're centered around some charismatic leader whose influence is that of a prophet and to be accepted almost unquestioningly.
Mm-hmm.
So those are aspects of a cult. And if you deny that Jesus is God, you deny the deity of Jesus Christ, certainly then you qualify as a cult. And in the Bible, you know, God tells us the basics of salvation and the Trinity itself. You know, mm-hmm. you look at the Trinity, and we have a teaching on the deity of Jesus Christ that for 10 years now people have told us it's the most powerful presentation of Christ's deity that they've ever heard. And that may or may not be, but the neat thing is that when you find Christians who will worship Jesus Christ as their creator and their savior and are committed to that he has provided for our salvation by his shed blood on the cross,
mm-hmm.
then we may disagree about some terms that are not even in the Bible, like, let's say, omniscience. We might disagree about some of those terms, exhaustive omniscience, for example, mm-hmm. but I don't think we should say, well, this is now a qualification for salvation. If you don't believe in exhaustive omniscience, then we can't fellowship with you, you're not saved, because the Bible, for one, it doesn't use that term, and it might be true, the doctrine may or may not be true, but it seems like we get on dangerous grounds when we say, this is how exclusive we are, unless you agree with this philosophical concept, then we're not to fellowship with you, or you're not in the body of Christ.
Yeah, now, would you hold then that Oneness Pentecostals are Christians also?
Not necessarily. To tell you the truth, in 15 years of being on the air, I've never debated one, and I've never studied their position.
Okay.
But you get into real dangerous ground, like I said, with I've always used Walter Martin's standard that if you deny the Trinity or the deity of Christ, they typically go together, that you are a cult.
Right, but just as the word omniscience is not in the Bible, the word Trinity isn't either.
That's absolutely right. That's why I said just because exhaustive omniscience isn't mentioned in the Bible, that doesn't mean it's not true.
Right.
It's just that we need to be careful about adding our own qualifications to what it means to be saved, what it means to be in the body.
Right, I agree. The point that I'm making here is that you could use the same argument in the case of a Oneness Pentecostal, because they do believe that Jesus is God. Now, they reject the doctrine of the Trinity, but
right.
they maintain the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not the language or the word Trinity that causes us to look at them and say, you guys are unorthodox or you guys are outside of the orthodox historic Christian faith. It's the implications of what they're saying. And I would go on to say that we can make a whole list of implications that come into play when we deny God's omniscience. I think one of the essentials that Walter Martin mentioned is the vicarious atonement of Christ, that Christ was a substitute in his atonement, that he died to save sinners.
Right.
Now, it sounds like you affirm that, but I'm wondering, do you believe that Jesus actually died to save Bob Inyart?
Well, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to invite you to ask me that question tomorrow in our debate, because, Pastor, we're on the verge of having the debate today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it'd be wise, and it also encourage our audience to want to tune in and hear it. How much time have we set aside for the debate, and could you explain the format of it?
Yeah, we've got opening arguments.
All right.
The opening arguments, and I threw out the time frame of 20 to 25 minutes. And
okay,
so,
that's right.
And then we've got a rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have the opening arguments followed by each of us will have an opportunity to give a rebuttal
mm-hmm.
of the opponent's opening argument. And that will last, I believe, 10 minutes.
I was just handed by our producer the outline.
Okay, great.
Okay, 10-minute rebuttal. Yeah. Then a cross-examination of about 10 minutes each.
Right.
And then closing statements of 5 to 10 minutes each.
Right.
then a break, and then questions from the audience. That's excellent.
That's right. And we'll take the questions on an alternating basis so that one side doesn't get overwhelmed with a bunch of questions.
Okay. Now, could our audience, we'll be beginning this tomorrow morning, can our audience listen online as it's happening?
Yeah. The address where the broadcast is going to be streamed live mm-hmm. is the website unchainedradio.com.
Okay.
Unchainedradio.com. And
we
what
will...
they'll do is when they arrive at the website, they'll just have to click on the on-air sign.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have any type of iTunes or a Real Player or a Windows Media Player or WinApp, they'll automatically be logged on.
Okay. All
now,
right.
They probably want to log on a little bit early. So I would recommend they get there by about 8:45.
Okay. Log on a little early.
Yeah.
And that's Pacific time.
Pacific Standard Time. Right.
Okay. And we will link to your website so that people can know between now. We upload every show each day and put a summary of the show. So this is now letting our audience know to tune in. And then also, we'll be recording it also. So if people can't catch it live, they'll be able to get it one way or another. And they'll also be able to get it on your archives, I imagine?
Yeah, I usually allow the either debates or podcasts or the radio programs to be free for download for a period of 7 to 10 days.
Great.
And so they can just click on the download icon, and that'll take them over to the download page, and they can mm-hmm. download it there for free. And then at a certain point, we'll move it into our archive, and it'll be available for download by purchase.
That sounds great, at unchainedradio.com. And how about a call-in number for the call-in the last 45 minutes?
Yeah, the call-in number is going to be 1-800-466-1873.
Okay.
That's 1-800-466-1873. Or if they want to save us some money, they can call us on our local line.
Yeah, that's better.
951-676-0583.
951-676, what was that?
0583.
0583.
Yeah, and both of those phone numbers will be posted on the website tomorrow.
Okay. Pastor Gene Cook, a couple things about us at Denver Bible Church. We, for example, right now we're going through a Way of the Master video series in our Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
You might know about Ray Comfort and
yeah.
Kirk Cameron.
I do.
And their presentation of the gospel, you use God's law, the Ten Commandments, to show people that they are sinners and they need a Savior. And so that has been rather effective. We have long been in the battle against abortion, against homosexuality, witnessing to atheists and evolutionists, and upholding the integrity of God's Word, the inspiration of God's Word from beginning to end, that the Bible is God's special revelation to man. We also debate Mormons, for example. We have shows where, for example, Bob debates a Catholic, and we present the Christian worldview to our audience for 15 years, 5 days a week, and with the goal of honoring God and bringing people to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's good. I have many things in common with you. I've been active in abortion protest. I used to be a part of an organization in San Diego called San Diego Christians United with a guy by the name of Steve Klein.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pastor, Gary, his name is escaping me, his last name. He was
right.
a pastor here in San Diego. He's gone on to be a part of Kennedy's ministry.
D. James Kennedy, Gary Cass.
Gary Cass, yeah, good friend of mine.
Oh, that's really neat.
And so we've been active in a lot of the same things.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, well, Pastor Gene Cook, it is an honor to get this time to talk through God's Word with you, and we're really looking forward to that tomorrow. So is there any last word you'd like to say, or we'll see you then?
No, that's about it. I'm looking forward to the debate also, and hoping that it will be edifying to the body of Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Cook.
Thank you.
May God bless you. All right, so Ed Hanks, that's the debate. This is going to be interesting.
Sounds exciting. I'll be listening.
Yeah, thank you. We've done this before, as you know. We debated the professor of New Testament from D. James Kennedy's ministry on this very topic. It's on Open Theism. That's Battle Royale 10. We did it at theologyonline.com, and we've been selling those, about 250-page debate. That was a lot of fun. That's a 10-rounder.
Oh, yeah. I was following parts of that.
That was just a blast. And so now this will be verbal, so it's going to come across a lot differently, obviously. But it should be real enjoyable. So, all right. Again, our telethon. We only have a moment left. The phone number for the telethon is 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, Ed, you spelled out my last name because you're on the other side of the radio normally, right?
Yes. How do you spell that, Inyart?
1-800-8-NYART. How do you spell it? I don't even know how to say it. Enyart. Enyart. And you're right, what you said earlier, we're at $14,000 toward our goal of $25,000. This is the best we've ever done. And we have introduced with this telethon a brand new monthly subscription, the BEL Televised Classics. And boy, is that going well. A lot of people are signing up for that. In fact, that's what a good chunk of our telethon results are coming from. So people could sign up if you'd like to watch the old Bob in Your Life TV show, whether you've seen it or not. I think you'll love it. And you could either get 4 shows a month, 8 shows a month, or 16 on DVD. They come in beautiful DVD cases, and they really will make a collector's item, the set. It's going to be fun. And that's for $25 a month, $35, or $50 a month. And then what we do for the telethon is if somebody says, hey, I'd like 8 of those a month, that's $35 a month, you could send a check in every month or give your credit card, and we'll process that on the 5th of every month. But then we multiply that monthly amount by 10. So somebody signs up for $35 a month, and we apply that toward our goal for $350 toward the goal. And because people, you know, they could cancel after 5 months or 5 years, we don't know. So we multiply it by 10. And then also, of course, people have been giving one-time donations, and some of those donations have been significant. People have given $1,500. Other people have given $25. Every dollar is so very important. And if you'd like to subscribe, but you're thinking, well, I don't want to watch TV shows, I'd rather have a Bible study album. We have that, the BEL Bible study albums, one album a month shipped to you. We have the monthly sermons. So there's so many ways. Some people say, well, I've got a lot of Bible study materials, but I just like to give $50 a month and just make a pledge. And so, of course, we do the same. We multiply that by 10. So we've slowed down quite a bit. We've had such a fast start for the telethon. You remember that, Ed?
Oh, I was listening that first day, and thousands of dollars coming in.
It was just incredible, really. It was a great boost. And so now we've slowed down. But maybe somebody out there could say, hey, I want to call, and I want to help get to the next $1,000 mark, the next $15,000. So if you can, please call us, 1-800-836-9278, or go online to kgov.com. And Maranatha Christian Center, wow, what a great school in Arvada, Maranatha.